السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, and as such we should praise Him, seek His help, and seek refuge in Allah from the evil which is within ourselves, and the evil which results from our deeds. For whomsoever Allah has guided, none can misguide, and whomsoever Allah has allowed to go astray, none can guide. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last messenger of Allah. Inna asdaq al-hadith kitabullah, indeed, the most truthful form of speech is the book of Allah. Wa khayru hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, And the best source of guidance is the guidance which was brought by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَشَرَّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا. And the most evil of all affairs are the innovations in religion. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. For indeed, every innovation in religion is an evil innovation. And all evil innovation leads ultimately to the hellfire. My brothers and sisters, we are currently in Sha'ban. Within a few weeks from Ramadan. And this month is a month in which Aisha radiallahu anha, wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had said, I have never seen Allah's Messenger fast any month of the year more than he did in Sha'ban. In some narrations, she said he used to fast all of Sha'ban. And in some, she said he used to fast almost all of Sha'ban. I have never seen Allah's Messenger fast any month of the year more than he did in Sha'ban. We have to ask ourselves, where are we relative to this? How many of us are following this way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah described him as the best example. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. There is in the Messenger of Allah for you the best of examples. A great example. But we have to ask ourselves, are we following that example? Or do we just wait until Ramadan finally hits us and we start fasting Ramadan? We have to ask ourselves, this is what we're doing. Ramadan catches us and we start to fast. Ramadan ends and we ask ourselves, are we any different at the end of Ramadan than we were at its beginning? Three weeks from now, when we come to Ramadan, are we any different this year than we were last year? Or the year before? Or the year before, or the year before. Has Ramadan made any change in our lives? Has it had any impact on our lives? Yes, during Ramadan we read more Quran, we pray more, you know, we try to do more ibadah some way or another. We do it every Ramadan. We're there in the masjid, etc. But at the end of Ramadan, when we enter into Shawwal, we get back to our quote-unquote normal lives. Are we really any different? Has Ramadan had any impact on us? I think you would agree with me that it really hasn't. In our lives, Ramadan comes and it goes. It comes and it goes. And really, we are not changing with Ramadan. But we have to ask ourselves, why? Why aren't we changing with Ramadan? Ramadan is a month of change. When we listen to what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says about Ramadan, the forgiveness of sins and the great rewards, etc., it must be a month of change. Because this reward, this forgiveness, only comes if we have made some change, we've done something to earn it. We can't be the way we normally are and earn that reward. Outside of Ramadan, we're not earning that reward. So if we are to do so in Ramadan, there must be some change. Ramadan must have some impact on our lives, spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, all of the various faculties that make up the human being, they must go through some change. But year after year, we are not. The psychologists, they tell us that a person who continues to do the same thing and expects to get different results is displaying what they call obsessive behavior. This means there's something wrong upstairs. Where we keep doing the same thing. We do this thing and we didn't get the results that we wanted. But we did it again. And we do it again and again and again and again. Repeating. As we say in the West, banging your head against the wall. It hurts every time you do it, but you still keep doing it. This is what they call obsessive behavior. This is a person who has something wrong in their mind. As we say, a screw loose. Something is wrong. So we have to ask ourselves, why? We have to break this cycle of repeating the same things and expecting some different results. How do we do it? We go back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the best example. His way must produce the results that we are seeking. Because Allah made him the example for us, to show us how to get those results. But we are neglecting his example. And that's why we're not getting the results. So when Aisha tells us, radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, that the Prophet ﷺ fasted more in Sha'ban, the month before Ramadan, than any other month in the year, this is telling us something. He was preparing for Ramadan. He was preparing for Ramadan. He didn't just let Ramadan catch him. Somebody from his companions came and said, "We saw the moon last night, so Ramadan is tomorrow. Okay, everybody, let's fast now." That wasn't his way. He started preparation from Sha'ban. And this is what we do with our day-to-day lives anyway. If we want a successful business, do we prepare for it? Do we make feasibility studies? Do we, invest? Do we get advice? Do we not make a number of efforts before entering into that business in order to achieve success? This is what we do. We do it with our day-to-day lives. But when it comes to our spiritual life, we're looking for some magic. You just pray and it's going to happen. Allah made rules. The world functions according to rules. The spiritual world is linked with the material world. The rules which govern the material world govern the spiritual world also. Maybe not in exactly the same way, but they are similar. So if we want to be successful in a business and we prepare for it, if we want to be successful in Ramadan, then we must also prepare for it. This is the reality. If we want change, then we have to do or take the necessary steps to achieve that change. Please move forward. Fill the gaps. There are people standing at the back. Try to do this automatically every week. This is wanting for your brother what you want for yourself. I mean, you don't have to overcrowd, just take the lines and fill the gaps. Right? Otherwise, there'll be problems when we actually stand for prayer. Some of the early scholars used to say Rajab is the month of planting. Rajab, the month before Sha'ban, is the month of planting. You plant the seed in Rajab. You water it in Sha'ban. And you reap the fruits in Ramadan. Rajab is gone. That's how they looked at it. From Rajab, before Sha'ban, they were planting the seeds. Looking at the issues in themselves which needed to be changed. Which they sought to change during Ramadan. They started working on it in Sha'ban, the watering. So that when they entered into Ramadan, the blessings of Allah, which descend on those who fast for His sake, would help them achieve the goals of Ramadan. We should be clear on the goals of Ramadan. What are the goals of Ramadan? If we're not really clear, then, again, we're stumbling through Ramadan and expecting it to cause some kind of a change, but we're not really even sure what change is supposed to actually happen. Somehow we should be better. Well, if we look at the main goal of Ramadan, why did Allah prescribe fasting? He prescribed it, as He said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Oh, you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you in order that you achieve consciousness of Allah, to be aware of Allah throughout our lives. And this is why you can find, even in the distorted Christian Jewish scriptures, in Exodus 34 verse 28, Moses fasted 40 days and nights, taking no drink, eating no food, 40 days and nights. And you can find in Matthew 4 verse 2, Jesus fasted 40 days and nights, taking no bread and no water. Fasting was prescribed for us as it was prescribed for those before us, in order that we gain consciousness of Allah, to bring that consciousness into our lives, which is the basis of righteousness. The Arabic term for that consciousness is taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Taqwa. And where is that taqwa? As the Prophet ﷺ said, at-taqwa ha'una, pointing to his heart. So, we have to be clear that ultimately, this is the primary goal of Ramadan. This is what we are seeking to achieve, so that we can work consistently to achieve it. From now, we can start to do certain things which can help prepare us for Ramadan, and then in Ramadan itself, we can give our full effort in order to achieve taqwa, true consciousness of Allah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. I ask Allah's forgiveness for you and for me and for all Muslims from all our sins. Ask His forgiveness, for He is the all-forgiving, the most merciful. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam wa rasulillah. All praise is due to Allah. May Allah's peace and blessings be on the last messenger of Allah. Among the goals of Ramadan is that we develop in our hearts a true yearning, desire for Allah's mercy. The heart being the place of taqwa, that we should have a strong desire for the mercy of Allah to be upon us. Why? Because Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had said, no one will enter paradise merely because of their deeds. And when his followers asked him, not even you, O Messenger of Allah, he said, not even me, unless Allah covers me with His mercy, His grace. Knowing that, if ultimately the goal of consciousness of Allah is to achieve for ourselves at the end of this short life, paradise, then we should know that it is the mercy of Allah, His grace, that is going to take us there. So we should have in our hearts a true desire for that mercy. Ubadah ibn Samit, he narrated that the Prophet ﷺ had said, Ramadan has arrived for you, a month of blessing, a month in which Allah envelops you with His mercy and blessings. So He sends His blessings and mercy down and erases the sins, answers the prayers, and He watches your race for goodness, and He boasts to the angels about you. So let Allah see the best from you, for truly the miserable is one who is prevented from Allah's mercy. Truly, the miserable is the one who is prevented from Allah's mercy. Ramadan, Allah sends down His grace and His mercy. He sends it throughout the year. But in Ramadan, there is a special dispensation, a special descent on those who fast of His mercy. And that's why He said all of the deeds that a person does, he will gain reward equivalent to those deeds except for fasting. He gives a special reward for it. So we should have in our hearts a true desire for this mercy. If we don't have it, then we can be certain we are not likely to get it. Furthermore, if we consider that the Prophet ﷺ had said, please brothers, either come in or sit outside. You're leaving the door open, hot air is coming in, we can't benefit from the air conditioning. Let the door close, please. Man sama Ramadan, imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dambi. Whoever fasts Ramadan based on faith, seeking his or her reward from Allah, his or her previous sins will all be forgiven. So, among the goals of Ramadan is to have our sins forgiven. If that's the case, then it means that we will need to recognize our sins as we prepare ourselves going into Ramadan. We need to recognize the sins that we have accumulated, the sins that we are doing repeatedly, which we need to correct, which we need to stop. So that Ramadan, with the aid of Ramadan and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can erase it. Erase them. But if we're not thinking about our sins, we're just carrying on day after day. We don't stop and reflect. What are we actually doing? Then we can't address the sins and effect change. It's not possible. And it is not going to happen miraculously. Because our effort is necessary. Allah is not going to forgive our sins simply because we have Muslim names. We were born in Muslim families. Allah is just. He is fair. He doesn't oppress. So let us not fool ourselves into thinking that simply because we are Muslims, we are guaranteed success. Muslims in name. Because relative to others who don't have these Muslim names, that would be oppression. Because it is Allah who decides which family we are born in. We didn't decide when the angel came to blow our spirit into the embryo. We didn't direct the angel and say, please blow me into that Muslim embryo. This is not our control. This is the qadr of Allah. He has decided. And as such, He doesn't reward us for that. Because it required no effort. It's no effort from us to earn any reward. So, if we want Ramadan to be a purifier for us, and that purification is what helps us to get closer to Allah. Because as we remove sins from ourselves, as we erase the sins, then we come closer and closer to Allah. If we want that to happen, then we need to address our sins now. Certain things that we're doing now, we know they're clear sins. We should start working on them from now, so we go into Ramadan, we stop them. And we come out of Ramadan trying to hold our ground, not going back to them again. The khutbah is not sufficient to go into all of the goals of Ramadan. I've touched a few. For us merely to think, to stop and to think. When we ask Allah to bless the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he told us, إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Indeed Allah and the angels greet and bless the Prophet. O you who believe, do the same. Ask Allah's blessings for him. Why? Because he was the blessed example. He was the guide. He made the effort and left a way for us, as the prophets before him left the way for their followers. That's what we should be thinking when we ask Allah's blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was there as the example for us. He fasted more in Sha'ban than any other month. So the remaining days of Sha'ban ahead of us, we will try to fast as many of the days as we can, following his example and reflecting on the goals of Ramadan, reflecting on our sins, on the things that we need to change in our lives so that we can come closer to Allah. What are the stumbling blocks? What are the things that are preventing us from benefiting from Ramadan as we should be benefiting. To be honest, look at our Ramadan honestly. Is it a month of fasting or is it a month of feasting? They both start with F. But there is a world of difference between the two. For most of us, Ramadan is a month of feasting. And how do we know it? Check the scales at the end of Ramadan. Check the scales at the end of Ramadan. And that's what tells us. That's where our focus is. And the Prophet ﷺ described his followers saying, we are a people who only eat when we are really hungry. We don't fill our stomachs. We eat a third, drink a third, and leave a third for breathing. But Ramadan comes and we are feasting. We eat before Taraweeh until we can't eat anymore. You hear that sound? Okay, that's it. I can't put anything more in. And that's when we stand up to pray. And of course, the bodily functions, when a person fills the stomach, you start to get tired. And Taraweeh becomes a trial to stay awake. And you're looking at your watch, wondering, when is the Imam going to finish? The focus changed completely. Why? Because we're feasting instead of fasting. So these are among the things, and there are many other things. How we spend the nights of Ramadan, how we spend the days of Ramadan. Non-Muslims look at Muslims then say, well, it seems as though they just turn the night into the day and the day into the night. They sleep all day and they stay up all night. We have to ask ourselves, is that what we're doing? That is certainly not the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So my brothers and sisters, we need to look at the past, to learn from the errors of the past. If we can't learn from the past, we're doomed to repeat those errors. So we look back at our previous Ramadan and identify where we went wrong. Link ourselves with the Quran, as Allah described the month as being the month in which the Quran was revealed. So link ourselves with the Quran this Ramadan. A link not merely of saying at the end of Ramadan, well, I read the whole Quran in Ramadan, but one in which we read and reflected on the Quran. Because the goal of reading the Quran is not merely to finish it, but to reflect on it. It is Allah communicating with us, speaking directly to each and every one of us, addressing the problems which exist in our lives. Spiritual, emotional, psychological, all of the various problems that we have, Allah says, it is shifa'un lima fi sudur. It is a cure for what is in the hearts. That is the Quran. So we need to take benefit from that Quran. We need to make that month the month of the Quran. a month of fasting, not feasting. Let us reach the end of Ramadan and see that in fact we lost weight. Some people say, well, that's a physical goal. Why make that fit? Well, if we can achieve that physical goal, the physical is connected with the spiritual. It's all one. We are one, physical and spiritual. If we're able to bring that physical element in line with the sunnah, it will help us to put the spiritual element in line. Because we're fasting from what Allah has made permissible for us. That is physical. We are abstaining from what Allah has made permissible for us. Eating and drinking and relations with our wives. This is halal. This is permissible. Allah has asked us to give these things up in the daylight hours for 1 month. Why? So that giving up the forbidden things become easier. If we can give up the permissible things, then giving up the forbidden things should become easier for us. Giving up the forbidden is a spiritual, intellectual, mental, emotional act. The physical is the food. So that giving up of the physical helps us to achieve a giving up spiritually. They're linked. So let us make some new goals for ourselves in this coming Ramadan. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to achieve these goals, to help us to reassess our Ramadan of the past, give us guidance, give us forgiveness for what has taken past. What has passed, we can't change it, it's gone now, but we can make a difference in this Ramadan. Oh Allah, I ask you to help us to make this Ramadan the best Ramadan of our lives. To make this Ramadan a Ramadan in which we make a change. Oh Allah, we ask you to make this Ramadan for us one which brings us closer to you. One in which we will achieve your forgiveness and your mercy and your guidance. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamu ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Glory be to our Lord, your Lord, the Lord of all greatness, above all that they ascribe to him. And peace be on all of the messengers of Allah. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the world. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.